Welcome to an Art Florida Gator podcast, subreddit podcast. I've got too much going on here. Welcome to an Art Florida Gator subreddit podcast special presentation. We are here with a four-person debate. Two people against two people debating a thesis statement. Can Dan Mullen be the guy? Which, actually, that's not a statement at all. It's a question. You can tell because there's a question mark at the end of it. But that is what we will be debating today. On the team in favor of the statement, Dan Mullen can be the guy, we have Zeus Apollo and Sticker Bush. Is it Sticker Bush?
Brush.
Sticker Brush.
Yeah. Either works.
And against the motion, Zlatan Diego and Burr Grant.
Yes,
welcome,
sir.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen. Hey there.
Howdy.
Gentlemen.
Well, this gentlemen. Is the biggest podcast since we had the Bowman excitement. I think this is the first time we've had a pop-up pod since that. It's a big deal.
Gentlemen. Gentlemen. Gentlemen.
Gents.
We're going to get right into this. I guess we're going to start with Zlat with a brief statement. as to why he feels that Dan Mullen cannot be the guy.
Well, we don't know that I feel that way yet, but we kind of do, I guess.
Well, you're on the team against that side of the motion, so.
All right, I'm locked in. I can do this. All right, I just basically have a few thoughts on this, and there's a few different pieces to being the guy. Recruiting alone, we've had 4 years, hasn't gotten any better. It's not good enough. I think we'd all agree it's not good enough. That's an issue. Maybe not worth firing over. Big issue, though. Keeping Grantham, keeping around assistants that just aren't cutting it. Grantham's been here for 4 years and, again, just has not done it at all and honestly should have been fired after last year. When he wasn't, that could have been a fireable offense right there in my mind. Or at least a, hey, you aren't it. You ain't it, the guy. Six of our last eight Power 5 games we've lost at the University of Florida. It's brutal. This isn't Kentucky. It's not Vanderbilt. We got Bunghole Bengal Bayou Billy Bob, and I definitely did not write that down in advance, beating us twice in a row with a skeleton crew of players. And then finally we're doing all that while obstinately sitting the greater talent at QB, playing him, the QB of the future, or not playing the QB of the future, and he's sitting behind the current QB who's just not doing it. And then my final thing, bringing back the late, great Johnny Cochran, may or may not be dead. I'm not actually sure. He made AR sit, Dan Mullen ain't it.
Thank you for that opening statement. Now we'll go to the other side. Do either of the debaters on the other side have a 60 to 90 second rebuttal to that opening statement?
Sticker, would you like to speak?
Sure. I'll preface by saying I think we could probably all agree that recruiting is probably not the best, and whether that's correctable is probably a debate further down the road here. I think, can he be the guy? For me, is it definitely yes, he could be, because he's proven that he can beat all of these teams, with the exception of Alabama, before. He's beaten everybody. He's beaten the Orange Bowl multiple times, Mississippi State and Florida. West, once in Florida, multiple times Mississippi State. He's beaten Georgia before. The question is, can he put it all together in one season? And whether or not that's making changes on defense, whether or not that's making changes to quarterback, whether or not that's just, is that, does he need to take a step back, maybe more of an let other coaches kind of just play the best players, or is he meddling, you know, in seniority or something else like that? So the question for me really is it a mindset issue for Mullen? Is he partially checked out? Is he able to step it up in recruiting? Is he able to put together a complete team and a complete coaching staff? And regarding a complete team, I think the answer is generally yes, because Mississippi State was putting players into the NFL, and we've been pretty good at putting players in the NFL under Mullen. But I'm not sure if we've been the best at utilizing both of those things, again, at the same time here. You know, even players like Marco Wilson was drafted, but, you know.
Thank you. All right. You guys just want to start fighting?
I think that's what we need to do.
Come here, bitch! Let me suck them titties. Listen. Have y'all ever had that hot girlfriend who has the... Hold on, let me back it up. Let me make this more accessible. That hot partner who has the smarts, who has the looks, who has the personality, but they have a small problem of burning down your house a couple times a year. Listen, you cannot teach smarts. You cannot teach the hotness of whatever the fuck that metaphor is. What you can do is don't play with matches. What is my belabored point? It is... Dan Mullen is fixable. We know what the issue is. You can point, you can draw it, you can circle it, you can draw it out, you can draw it with a stick figure, you can play hangman with it. Fire Todd Grantham. Start AR. It's easy. If he had started AR, this is a different story. If he had fired Grantham, this is a different story. Easy peasy, no problem. He didn't fire Grantham going into the 2021 season because of the 2020 COVID year. Is that acceptable? It's not unforgivable. It is a mistake. I disagree with it. I wish he had. It is not unforgivable. It is not so outlandish that I would give up this smoking hot partner, this incredibly intelligent partner, this I would put a ring on that kind of partner, with the exception of burning down the house. If he does not fire Todd Grantham at the end of this year, that tells me he is not capable of not simply not burning down the house. It is a very easy thing not to do, but if he doesn't fire Grantham at the end of this year, it tells me that he cannot do the tiny little thing that needs to be done.
Berg?
Alrighty. So I actually thought about this a little bit earlier, and this is kind of how my line of thinking went. When
Too much
Mullen
prep.
Came back into... I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for the notes. When Mullen first came into town, we... the prodigal son returned, so to speak. He brought the Gator chomp out of the plane. He brought the Gator standard and all that good stuff, and that's all great. But at the time, we also knew there were going to be deficiencies. We knew coming in, he probably wasn't going to be a great recruiter, and we knew coming in that he had his guys and he rolled with his guys on coaching staff. But we viewed those problems as overcomable because he is a very plus developer and because he is an incredible offensive play caller and because he's shown an ability in the past to put good coaching around him on the defensive side. So we were willing to write off those things as things we could develop around and things we could prepare around. But all of that hinged on this idea that we were going to need elite quarterback play, not good, not great, like elite quarterback play to compete with the best in the business. We were never going to beat Georgia loaded with five stars without it. We're never going to beat Alabama loaded with five stars without it. And so when we enter with such a presumption that we need elite quarterback play, and then we don't take the steps necessary to fulfill that need, it's just a trend that's happened too many times, and it's not one that I feel like is a hump that we're going to be able to get over, because we need to have that quarterback play, and we've shown time and again.
We still taking turns, or are we just hopping around right now?
No.
I don't want to jump in too early or anything. Trying to follow rules best I can here before it all just goes into free-for-all. All right. Now, Zany Zeus over there, he would have you believe that we cannot land...
Listen here, you also start with a Z. I'll just call you Zany's Lat.
I know, right? Like, anyways, he'd have you believe that we can't land a 10 who's capable of earning a six-figure salary and also whipping up a mean filet mignon. We can do that. We're the University of Florida. We can land anybody. We've had Spurrier. We've had Meyer. We don't have to have...
We've also had Muschamp.
We don't have to have a hot partner who's also a psychopath that might burn down the house in your sleep or kill your dog if you don't call back on time. I mean, it's not that hard. We have the money, we have the facilities, we have the location. We don't have the facilities, we have the ability to have the facilities. We have the location, we have the history, and honestly, we have the conference. We are the top team in the state. based on the conference and our just overall prestige and history. And there's really no reason why we can't get a guy that can actually win it big. I think I saw a stat, and you can absolutely tear this up if you want to, but I think I saw that Alabama has not gone 4 years without a championship or firing their coach. And wow. You go back, I don't know how far back you go, but this is back to the days of Bear Bryant. We can do that.
Was Shula really around for more than, for only 4 years? I felt like he was there longer, but maybe not. That was almost 20 years ago at this point.
Most of you wouldn't remember this.
Oh, I remember.
Some of you
weren't. I remember where I was and what I was doing when Tyrone Prothro broke his leg.
Oh, yeah, same. That was...
We all remember that, yeah. Ooh, vicious.
Yeah, Shula was 03 to 06.
I think one of the things that I sort of push back on with the, like, especially comparing Mullen to any, like, coach that has a very clear deficiency, like maybe somebody like Muschamp, or you're like, the narrative for a long time was, if only he could get a good offensive coordinator, that's all he needs, and he'll put it all together. And I think a similar issue is sort of turning around Mullen, but I actually don't think that's entirely accurate. And not to say this is better, but my issues with Mullen the last 2 years has been, I feel like every game that we lose is for an entirely random reason. For like Kentucky, we committed 15 penalties, and then last week we committed zero. And then, you know, our defense has been pretty good this year, and it suddenly just spontaneously combusts in the worst way possible. And last year's LSU game, we turned the ball over like 4 times. Like, there's not one thing that I can point to with Mullen and say, well, man, if we could really clean up the penalties, or special teams have always been terrible under him, we really need to get better at this. It's just like this, like, I don't know if there's like that one fixable thing, which could be a reason to just, you know, get rid of the guy, because you're like, well, sorry, you're just never, you know, you can never put it all together. But I also feel like that's why he's relatively close to getting over that hump, is because he doesn't have that one Achilles heel like all these other coaches seem to have.
And let me pose a question just based on that to the two of you. Could it be that having these random issues pop up in these random games repeatedly, seemingly repeatedly, and they're all over the place, could it be that he just has issues with preparation, consistency in preparation, and making sure that the team's ready to play? Because boy, do I see our team show up and just not really show up a lot of the time. It feels like we are a second half. It's felt like for years that we were a second half team. And then this year, all of a sudden, we're neither a first half nor a second half.
Maybe. Who's to say? If it comes down to whether or not he's able to prep for a game, I trust Dan Mullen more than anybody else to set his sight on the game you need to. I guess in the scheme of that question is, it's can Dan Mullen win his clunkers? He had a clunker against Vanderbilt back in, I think it was 2018 or 2019. I don't quite remember. Oh, no, it would have been 2018, because it wasn't Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask didn't have clunkers. It was a Felipe Franks moment. But he won it. He came back from that. There are going to be peaks and valleys in his preparation, but I don't think it's a preparation issue that has lost us the games that we've lost. There have been a few hairball games that we lost for a reason that I can't point to. I mean, I could point to the reason, but I can't tell you how to fix that. It's the Kentuckys, it's the 2020 LSUs. You have that. If you have a game like that per year, if you could win that game, that'd be great. But I mean, like, Bama will occasionally drop one to Auburn in the Iron Bowl. That happens sometimes. So to answer your question, fuck you. Next question.
I wish our moderator would step in and actually, you know, prevent some of this name calling.
Listen, even zombies, zombies lat over here. And did I Google the exact search term negative words, including the letter Z? Maybe. But to speak to what Berg said a while ago, he mentioned we need elite quarterback play. I would go back through Dan Mullen's tenure and pick out Tim Tebow, Dak Prescott, Kyle Trask, Anthony Richardson. He's almost never not had an elite quarterback. I think the bottom out moment is either when he first got to Mississippi State and he hadn't recruited anybody yet, or Nick Fitzgerald. If Nick Fitzgerald is your floor, that means in terms of quarterback play, you're looking at somebody who can get you probably still to a New Year's Six Bowl.
And just to point out something, out of every quarterback you named, the only one that actually started when he should have was when Urban Meyer was head coach, and that was Tim Tebow.
Did that prevent any of them from getting to the high school?
He was also the only quarterback on the roster, basically, that season, too. I mean, he was recruited to be the guy. I mean, we've mentioned it before, but I'm like, man, if this Discord or if Reddit were around in 2006 when Leak was throwing a lot of picks, and I love Leak as a player, but like Leak was throwing picks, like he was going up against Vandy, and we were winning games like 25-16 or whatever on earth the score was, and like I can't 16? Imagine what people would be. So what?
Did you say 16?
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds about right for Chris Leak. Go on.
Yeah, we people probably rightfully would have been calling for Tebow at some point, but. You know,
that definitely was a narrative at that point. I recall that. I'm old enough to remember that there were a lot of people calling for Tebow in 2006.
That said, how many games did we lose in 2006?
That one fluky game in which we turned the ball over a lot. We had a punt block. Chris Leak had the phantom fumble that they returned for a touchdown.
That's Auburn, like, right?
Yeah. That's Auburn. Like I think even Leak coaches, to Zeus's point, like, have those games. Like, Clemson will drop one to Pitt or NC State every once in a while. Alabama will randomly lose to Ole Miss, or Texas A&M this year. That stuff occasionally happens. Can you be good enough to overcome those in the long run is, I think, the bigger
question.
A question to clarify something here. Is it possible that the level of play is roughly similarly elite from Florida now as it was in 2006, and it's simply that the level of competition that you're facing each week in the SEC has increased in quality?
Our defense is way worse, and I think having a good defense can cover up a lot of deficiencies. If I think we even had an average defense that year, we'd probably go like 8-4. And you have back-to-back seasons when you should go 8-3, win a bowl game, 8-4, play against, you know, Louisville or whoever in the Sugar Bowl.
That's a heavy question. I feel like the SEC overall is better now and deeper, but the East might have been better back then. I mean, Tennessee kind of mattered at that point, right? A little bit.
They won the East in 2007, so yeah.
There's a time around that point where they were competent. Yeah, so I mean, I would think it was similarly tough back then. Yeah, I don't see this current team having the same level of overall talent. And then part of that is it does come back to recruiting. I don't want to harp on that too much because I've done that plenty. But you know, you come in with a bunch of Zook guys, a great recruiter, and then swing into Urban Meyer after that, an even better recruiter, and you have a team that is overall just loaded. So even with issues, even with deficiencies, even with having that floor quarterback like a Jake Fromm or Chris Leak or somebody like that, you still might only lose the one game rather than losing the two or the three or beyond that games where you drop to Kentucky and to Ed Orgeron. Fired Ed Orgeron.
To speak to the question, I think offensives have gotten better in the SEC. I don't necessarily think defenses have, which means what do you want to see? You want to see an improved defense. Once again, we're back to Dan Mullen can put it together if he fires Todd Grantham. I think a real root question here that's going to divide a lot of people is, should Grantham be here this year? I think everybody agrees no. The question is it forgivable that he is?
I think it's defensible. I mean, yeah, forgivable might be. It's defensible in the way that I can work my way through the logic tree of how he is still our coach, our defensive coordinator, in 2021, regardless of how bad I might feel about that. And you can still point to every other game before LSU and go like, well, I mean, you know, it's not a bad defensive performance here. Or like, he's not the problem against Kentucky. He's not why we lost that game. He's arguably, you know, why one of the reasons we might have lost Alabama or LSU. So if that's the difference between being you know, a 7-1 team going into Georgia versus, you know, 4-3, then yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I can follow his logic. It's, I'm kind of thinking of like a, I don't know if it's a meme or something, but y'all have seen Dodgeball, where it's like, at Globo Gym, we're better than you, and we know it. I just picture Dan Mullen in that tight purple leotard going, at Florida, I'm smarter than you, and I know it. And he's over there trying to be the smartest guy in the room and keeping Grantham around. Oh, yeah, this is working. This is definitely working. We're going to have the worst defense in Florida history. And just brutal. Just it's just brutal that we kept him. I still cannot fathom it.
My thoughts kind of on the idea is it's the kind of thing you can do. It's the kind of thing you have the cachet to do, coach of Florida. But you better be right. And I think we all know that he wasn't. And that's kind of what makes it unacceptable is, like, you better be right when you bring him back after he costs you, I think, unequivocally a chance.
Pain.
Yeah, it's, yeah, not happy times in the answer.
Now, so I think we've pretty distinctly stated where we all land on the Grantham. I'll leave it for the viewers at home to decide where they do. I would push you to say fire him at the end of the year instead of the end of 2020 and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But Zombie Zlat keeps mentioning recruiting. I just wanted to make a quick point of saying I don't think our talent has held us back. I think it's kept us from covering up mistakes. But I think when we've lost, it has not been the fault of our talent. I think it's been something much different in almost every single case, except for maybe Missouri a couple years ago, but that's besides the point. I think he has successfully recruited guys that he has developed, and he's missed on some and hit on others. And I think talent wise or production wise, at least, barring a Todd Grantham and barring a starting the wrong guy, we have the talent to do anything we want to do.
Yeah. I think our defense is kind of showing some of the issues with the talent. I mean, I do think that there's talent throughout. It just comes down to the timing it all at the exact right moment, because we're not getting enough of it. Because basically, one of our biggest issues this past game is Torrence got hurt and he went out and we had nobody behind him at safety. So we had to throw Trevez Johnson back in there and he couldn't make tackles. So we couldn't stop the counter because we didn't have anybody back there who could just make a step up and make a tackle, essentially. We have no safeties. We went 2 years without getting any. And there's just no reason that at self-proclaimed DBU in the recruiting hotbed of Florida, where you get probably 10 different NFL defensive backs every single year coming out of the state. That might be an exaggeration, but probably a solid 5. I haven't looked at the numbers. It's got to be up there. Load up. No. Zodiac Killer Zeus, you need to just hush up.
God damn it.
I think offensive line is another one that you could probably point to, or defensive line specifically actually is probably a better one. On the lines of scrimmage is also, I think, where you see those recruiting deficiencies come through, because as soon as one guy goes out, it's like, well, sorry, the whole line's just going to collapse, and it's like, well, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, it's not many teams have a 2-deep full of offensive linemen who are just dominant, but at the same time, if you lose one lineman, it shouldn't completely fuck your team over. If you lose one D lineman, it shouldn't completely fuck your team over.
All right, okay. Listen here, Zoophilia Zlat. We didn't.
There it is.
We did.
That's the winner.
We didn't recruit a single safety for 2 years, and we fired the guy who was in charge of recruiting safeties, and we immediately landed Corey Collier. I just call him Collier. We address issues. We address that issue. D line. We have Turner, and we recruited big old Des Watson. We have Gervon Dexter. It takes a while to build depth. Should he have built it earlier? Yes. But if that is the deficiency, if an extra 2 years to build up the depth we need is what it takes for the one man who I think has a claim besides Lane Kiffin to be definitively the best offensive coordinator in college football, I'm willing to wait the extra 2 years.
Okay. So you kind of brushed up against something that a lot of us have been wondering. If Dan Mullen is... or is not the guy, that aside, is there anyone else out there who could be the guy right now? Or is this just a situation where it's Saban's world and we're all just stuck living in it as the second or third best?
Is that, are those mutually exclusive questions?
No. Maybe. However you want to attack it is fine.
No, I don't think there's somebody out there who could be doing necessarily better that we can get. Yes, I think we're living in Saban's world. The handful of, if there is somebody out there who we can get, it would not be because we select them by choice. It would be because we got lucky. The people out there who I know could probably do better than Dan Mullen all are hired by schools who can pay as much as us and are willing to shell out a little bit extra to push us, to push themselves over the line to keep their guys. I'm talking about Jimbo Fisher. Never fucking hire Jimbo Fisher. I'm sorry you even brought it up. Lane Kiffin can probably be the same kind of offensive mind, but I wouldn't want to hire Lane Kiffin because he would then leave for the next job 2 years later and leave us in Ram shackles, or that doesn't make sense, but you know what I mean. There is maybe a Dabo, but you see how Dabo's doing this year, and also I don't want Dabo, and also Toph, sorry for all the bleeps you're having to do in this exact second for the D word. But I don't think we're taking him from Clemson. I don't think we're taking Kirby. I don't think we're taking a Saban. The only people who can consistently compete at the level Dan Mullen does are not going to come to Florida because they are already at a place that they will not leave until they are fired or go to the NFL. If we pick somebody up and they do compete at the level that Dan does, it's because we got lucky.
I'd like to make a qualification of my stance on this position. Dan Mullen not being the guy doesn't mean I don't think that Dan Mullen could win it. I do think he could. My qualification being, we see one-off championships here and there in college football every 5, 6, 7 years. We've seen it come from the SEC with guys like Gene Chizik and Cam Newton and Ed Orgeron and Joe Burrow and that whole offense they had there. We see sometimes that elite players, can push coaches who otherwise wouldn't be trip coaches over the edge. And I do think Mullen falls in that category of that level of coach. And in that regard, I don't think it's Saban's world and we're all just living in it. But in terms of any kind of sustained success, I think it is Saban and Kirby's world, and we're all just living in it as long as we're not going to be willing to be that level of program and a change on the near.
I think it's something we could all probably agree on, that this is Saban's world and we're living in it. I don't think there's any obvious coaching candidate out there who's just going to overtake him. Like, the guy's just going to go until he slows down, and then whenever he's slowing down, he's probably going to quit or die before it actually happens. So we just have to wait until – we have to wait him out. I don't know how long that'll be. 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. I'm not quite sure yet. Yeah, it's and I also actually, for once, I agree with Zeroes In on Small Children Zeus.
God damn it.
For this one point that I'm not really sure if there's an obvious coaching candidate out there right now. Like, there's no clear-cut Urban Meyer out there. There's no Nick Saban, like, figure out there or anything like that. Everybody's focusing on Lane Kiffin, and yeah, he's a fun, exciting guy, but there's no real evidence that he's going to be some elite coach like there was with some of these other names, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, whoever else. I'm probably missing a few. So it's a timing thing. My only real question here is, do we want to just keep, especially if we can't make it happen with AR? This is a big caveat here. If we can't do the Gene Chizik thing with AR, where he leads us to the promised land, do we want to just keep with this middling coach who's going to not improve our team talent, or do we want to try and get the next guy who can do that? If he works, great. If he doesn't, at least we're more talented. And then we'll be set for the next guy whenever Saban's gone, and maybe it'll time out better after that.
My thing with that, though, is that I think that's exactly why Mullen, at the very least, deserves a year five for me, is because I think that the team depth and talent is going to be better pretty much across the board next year. And if AR is your starter, then that's kind of your make it or break it moment of can you put it all together? You have a quarterback. He's in his third year, 1.5 years as a starter, or the second half of this year plus next year as a starter. You'll have better depth at receiver. You'll have the talent at running back. That's sort of the moment where, like, this team is 100% his. You had a chance to get rid of your dead weight at the defensive coordinator position. Can you put the whole thing together? And if you can't do it then I have no confidence that you'll ever be able to do it. This year's just too early for me to say that can never, ever, ever happen. You know, even if you want to say, like, well, he should have been playing Richardson the whole time. Yeah, probably. But we'd probably still be camping out at 9-ish, maybe 10 wins in the regular season. Probably around 9 wins in the regular season. So you're still building toward next year no matter what. And I think ultimately that's why I'm sort of like not on the, yeah, he'll never be the guy, or he should just get, you know, shown the door, you know, at the season's end unless the wheels fall off.
Out of curiosity, is anybody strongly opposed to Mullen returning for one more year after this?
I think the only candidate would be me, and I would only be opposed to him returning if he just continues to fuck up the AR situation to the point of him transferring out. Then yeah. I would be done with him entirely.
But yeah, I tend to fully agree with you there, Sticker, in that you're gonna get one shot. You're gonna get your chance with a dude who's looking like, and this isn't me saying this. This was, I think it was Joe Lombardi on an NFL podcast saying that, yeah, he looks like the kind of guy who's going to be a top five goes after next year. If you can't do it with that kind of talent at QB, and you're going to get your chance too, if you can't, you're never going to do it, because how many times have we, as the University of Florida, had a top five draft pick come here from as a quarterback? As far as I know, never. Not a single time.
Where did Sexy Rexy go? 20s?
Yeah, like 20-ish to Chicago. Obviously Chicago, but yeah, it was like 20, 24. Yeah, I think it was toward the end of the first round. It might have been the very beginning of the second round, but I think it was toward the end of the first round.
22nd pick.
If I may be allowed to cross-examine the opposing team and my own partner as well, and you know what? I'd like to hear Toph's dulcet tones as well, so maybe you can answer as well. I would like to cross-examine in a way that's totally not allowed by actual cross-examinations, in that I'm going to say a hypothetical and you can reply simply as yes or no. I would like in the round for us to answer yes or no. Does that team win a championship? 2019, Kyle Trask offense exactly as we expected to be, like as it was, with a top 10 defense. Toph.
Toph's screen pauses on the greatest images ever.
No, I wasn't paused.
There
I
was, is some funny faces.
Deep in thought. Indecision.
You just keep freezing and you look high as hell.
Thank you. I get that a lot. No.
Zlat. Oh, I'm sorry. Zoned as a residential parking lot, Zlat.
Okay. You can go with that. So the question is, Kyle Trask offense, last year's offense with the top 10 defense, does that win the Natty?
Yes.
No.
Did you say last year? I 2019.
2019?
So year before last.
The shittier Trask offense.
No, then definitely no.
I thought you meant 2020 as well. Definitely no.
All right.
Yeah, so guessing in our elite offense.
For time's sake, give me an answer for both 2019, 2020.
Yeah, no for both.
Berg Grant?
I'd say yes. I'd say you could probably win it.
And Sticker Brush?
I'm going to say no 2019. I don't think that's why we lost those games necessarily. And I think, yes, you could probably win a national title last year if we had a top 10 defense.
I'm going to agree with the sentiment of no 2019, but we would have absolutely kicked fucking ass. I would have said playoff berth. And 2020, I would say easy national championship conversation, definitely competing. Maybe something weird happens. I believe in the 2020 team with the top 10 defense. Let me ask you this. This year's This is combing through a little bit. This is a lot of speculation and a lot of extrapolation. What we've seen from Anthony Richardson 2021 with a top 10 defense, do we look like we're having a playoff kind of year this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think that he takes the offense well past what Trask could do. I think that he's a dual threat. He adds more dangers. Trask was one dimensional. So like while he could score at will, we still couldn't impose our will on teams in the way that we can with a guy like Anthony Richardson. We could beat them however we want to on offense. And we can make their defense whatever we want. If we need to rest our defense, we can do that. So I think that he could do it. I don't know if we would, but if you're asking, can we make the playoffs? Absolutely. That's my issue. The 2020 Trask team, I think that can make the playoffs. I just don't know if we can win it all.
What he said.
Berg and Sticker.
I agree with a lot of what Zlat says in regards to Anthony Richardson opening up. You can see it just when you watch that half versus LSU, how much downfield was just unbelievably wide open because they were scared shitless of the QB power. That being said, I don't think 2021 is the year anyway, frankly. I think odds are we likely drop the game to Georgia either way.
With a top 10 defense.
And so I don't think 2021 was like the year either way. But I think it very well could have been the year. If every championship season's going correctly. And I think it could have been that kind
of Sticker.
I never really kind of thought this year, not to sound like too down on this season going into it, but I kind of never really thought this year was going to be the year no matter what. There's too many question marks defensively.
Defense, part of the hypothetical.
Oh, yeah. I still really just don't think that this year would have been the year no matter what. Maybe you probably win Kentucky and you probably win LSU, but I don't know.
I think we would have also won Alabama, but that's a little bit of a quotation marks Bama. So, you know,
I can't tell if we almost beat Alabama because Dan called such a great game and Emory was able to execute those specific plays really, really well. And that's why we kept it close. And that's why we almost won. And Anthony Richardson just makes the wrong read and fumbles, you know, like maybe that there's that element to it. I think if Richardson were healthy and he had gotten more snaps in that game, we probably could have won because you probably could have scored near the goal line more often.
And that's why I think that this could have been a national championship year, although I didn't expect it to be going into the year. But with AR and a top 10 defense, this is sort of a down year. This is a parity year in college football. And so, I think that those two parameters make us a top two team, and it's basically just a question of us or Georgia at that point.
Yeah, I'm right there too. This is a year where Caleb Williams playing 1.5 games is already top five in Heisman voting, or in the Heisman odds, I guess, not voting.
Yeah.
Like, this is a parity year. There's no super elite playmakers out there, and Caleb Williams could be one of those guys, and Anthony Richardson could have been one of those. This could have been like a Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields type thing. I mean, those guys didn't come up with the same level of hype, but they could be that level of hype going forward.
Just so the listener is aware, we have dispensed with the debate format and just gone full roundtable discussion.
What's
the
debate? Yeah, we're going to have Toph like put in a bunch of air horn sounds, and then, you know, just like a bunch of music.
This is the pro wrestling turn. You thought you could make me the moderator? I'm not the moderator. You're the moderator. Who do you think you are? I am.
Why is he wearing a Speedo?
You got to be assigning points like this is like around the horn, you know. We got to see that little numbers go up too much. Yeah, and if I'm not seeing the numbers go up, I just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Clock out, yeah.
Zeus, dear God, put your shirt back on.
Never. It's not a video podcast. It's not helping the ratings.
That's not a joke. He's done that before.
I have.
I'm unsurprised.
Berg knows me from in real life. He acutely knows that is a Zeus thing to do. So I think the point that I'm making is, Sticker said it earlier, not unlike Muschamp, if he could only find an offensive coordinator. The difference, though, is that I trust Dan to find a defensive coordinator. I don't trust him to move off the wrong one in an expeditious manner. I do trust him to move off him eventually. I am trusting Dan to fire Todd Grantham at the end of 2021, and I trust I trust Dan Mullen would have fired him at the end of 2020 if it weren't for the fact that COVID kind of put a finger up our butt.
This is a perfect segue right here, actually. I have a question for all of you now. You had mentioned Dan Mullen firing Todd Grantham. Let's say Dan Mullen fires Todd Grantham. And let's say, this is my fantasy world now, so you're going to have to just roll with it. Nick Saban hires Todd Grantham as his defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And is forced to keep him and actually let him be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Can Nick Saban win a title with Todd Grantham as his defensive coordinator?
Can I clarify the hypothetical?
You can ask anything you want.
Does Saban actually let Grantham do what he wants with the defense?
He has to. He's forced to. Grantham calls the plays. Grantham gets to run the defense. Saban has his head coach input, but this is Grantham's baby.
No, I don't think he does. I think it is an Alabama Sugar Bowl kind of year.
I'm compelled to say that Nick Saban can do whatever the fuck he wants. He can literally shoot a man on Fifth Avenue and nobody's going to say a goddamn thing. But boy, I don't know. That's a pretty tall ask. I'm going to say no.
Even good Nick Saban coached Alabama teams have had bad defenses before and it's cost them games before. I can only imagine that would get worse if Grantham were running the defense. I would also be interested in how is Alabama's offense, who's running that. So I imagine I don't really trust that offense enough, depending on the coordinator, and I think the defense absolutely gets worse. So you probably end up with a 10-2 issue. Yeah, the Sugar Bowl type year. Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think Grantham poisons defenses like Muschamp poisons offenses.
Well said.
I like that. Yeah, I really just wanted to assign Grantham to Saban. I thought that'd be a lot of fun.
to Berg's point, it's a little bit extra funny because at least Muschamp can do his defensive thing. Todd Grantham poisons the thing he's supposed to be good at.
This is your job, man.
And to the Muschamp thing, and then to sort of what Zeus was talking about, I still do trust Muschamp to make the right hire. For whatever reason, I still trust that Muschamp or that Mullen can correct this. Muschamp, I kind of never really believed he was going to hire the right guy at offensive coordinator. Like, oh man, if only I give him three chances, he will eventually get it right. Like, that was never going to happen. At least now, I can look at this and say, like, okay, well, this didn't work, and you have hired good defensive coordinators multiple times in the past. I have at least a glimmer of hope that he can get it right if he is given a second chance at that.
I hope so, too. Genuinely. Yeah, very, very much hope so, too. Because next year does, like, indubitably has the chance.
Indeed. Yeah, don't get me wrong either. Like, this is what I want. I want him to be able to turn it around. And I see what everybody else is seeing, too. Like, I see his upside. Ooh. It's Ooh. Very apparent.
Shades of one James D. Virgilio. Don't get me wrong. I want this team to succeed. I'm only going to talk about why it won't constantly.
Now, zippity doo Zeus, if you just let me talk.
God damn it. Wait, how did I not do this? Zodiac Killer Zlat. I said it first. Suck it, nerd.
Yeah, we'll go to the replay for that one.
Wait, did you actually say it first already?
I did say that first.
Motherfucker!
I might have opened with that one. That might have been the second one in there. That was early.
Ah, well. Either way. I don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Zoned out, not paying attention, Zeus. Might have missed this. but yeah, it's just, I mean, absolutely. I see what he can do. And I see, like, yeah, he can beat any one team at any given moment. I really do see that. It's just, I don't think he moves quick enough with things. I think he's really stubborn. I think he's egotistical. I think he's adamant in his ways. He's very set in his ways. You don't necessarily change a person. And while you can change small things, I think that's just kind of part of who he is. And it's part of what makes him good, too. That's the other side of this. Like, he might not be Dan Mullen on offense if he wasn't so stubborn in certain things. Like, maybe that's what makes him so good at drawing up offenses. I don't actually know. But it could be just a part of what makes him great there. It's just, it's also limiting other things. And I think that he's best suited as an elite offensive coordinator for a college team, a head coach at a good college team. I think he could be a head coach at probably 80% of college teams and actually be fine and stay there as long as he wanted to. Maybe.
Yeah, or in a worse conference where, you know, he can go 10-2 every single year or something like
Let's go 65%. How about that? Will that put Toast's face in a face?
That was coincidental. I wasn't cringing at
I don't know, man. Your face is just showing everything right now.
Yeah, that was bad timing on my part.
Yeah. But or maybe he could be an elite NFL coach. I still kind of think that there's that ability. I just don't think that he is necessarily cut out to be the head guy at a top tier program competing against other head guys, having to recruit against other elite guys and compete at a high level and win every single week at a high level.
Has anybody else been getting those vibes over the past couple of weeks of like late stage McIlwain, late stage Muschamp, where it's like, maybe he's just clocked out and this is spiraling the drain one way or the other?
That's easily my biggest concern. One of the only notes I have in my little notepad right here is if he has one foot out the door. That's really my only big, because if that's the case, yeah, he's probably not going to make the right hire. He's not going to make the right adjustments. He's not going to do all those things we kind of want him to do. He's not going to step it up on the recruiting trail because he just is in autopilot. And if that's the case, then he absolutely needs to go because then you're going to allow teams like FSU to jump up and beat you, because at least those teams are still going to try. And those teams are going to have that mindset to do it. And if he is mentally clocked out, then that's going to show in the team, and then we're going to lose those games. And if that's the case, this whole thing is over. I think that's what it reminds me of, like a late stage McIlwain thing, where you're just like, what are we even doing right now? Like, does anyone on the staff care? Why do we look this bad?
I think it's a little unfair to look at this right now too, because we're coming off these multiple losses in a row, or multiple losses in a short period. So there is that aspect to it. But would any of us say that we are in the even 80% confidence that he doesn't have a foot out the door? Because I can't say that. I don't know if anybody else can. I mean, it almost seems like he does. I'm in that almost 50-50.
I am 80% confident plus that he is not one foot out the door. And I'll tell you why. You don't put one foot out the door when you have an Anthony Richard. Two, Dan Mullen does have a track record of checking out for a year at a time. Miss State fans will say he takes like an off year. He like loses two or three games and goes, okay, prep for next year mode. And so I fully expect this year to not go down well for the rest of it. It's going to be a challenging year, I suspect. I believe we will start 4-4. I believe we very well may drop another one after that because we are in prep mode for 2022. I do not think he checks out on the macro level, because you do not check out when you have an Anthony Richardson coming up. You don't check out when you have the opportunity to hire a potentially elite defensive coordinator, and you don't check out when the year you circled from the beginning. Back in year one, there were talks that year six was where you have circled. Year six is his circle year. If he dips now, por qué?
Is that like the James DeVirgilio 3-year test?
It's times two, so it's twice as good.
We're going with the Mark Richt, which is the square of the JDV 3-year rule. It's the Mark Richt 9-year rule. All right, y'all. If this ain't the year in year nine for Mark Richt, I might be off the Richt train.
I've actually one more thought here. We've gone back and we've compared to the 2019 and 2020 offenses and asked ourselves if we put a top 10 defense next to them, are we winning? And I have some qualms with that, primarily being I don't see talent like Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts coming through the door anymore. And I want to be all aboard the hype train for 22 because I think like an elite quarterback can make up for that. But then Anthony Richardson's don't walk through the door every day. And I don't know how sustainable the offensive after Richardson is gone without that level of playmaker on the outside. I mean, I forget what it was, it was either post LSU or post Kentucky, post game that talked about a lack of talent outside. And that's real. I think, I don't think that's made up. And I think that's concerning moving forward when that does matter, when we just have a very, very good quarterback again.
Yeah. Either way, one of my concerns with Mullen for a long time has been that because it's so predicated upon player development and upon offensive system and upon offensive play calling, when he leaves, no matter what, we're going to have some pretty severe growing pains under the next guy, because I doubt that it's going to be a roster that is just ready to like turn over and be effective immediately under someone else. It's going to be kind of a mess when he leaves.
He left Mississippi State in a weird spot too. They had this elite defense, but I want to say he brought in like 10 different JUCO guys that final year, like completely screwed them over on the counters. And I don't know if that was intentional or not. Knowing him, it might've been. He's a little bit petty and kind of out for himself in some ways. And that's a head coach mindset right there. It's not like a knock against him or anything like that. But it's a concern. So that's actually something I've been watching, is if we have a year where we just go and grab 10 or 15 guys out of the transfer portal, then I'm going to be thinking, okay, he's gearing up for his last rodeo here. And I know Zinc Deficient Zeus isn't paying attention right now. Maybe eat some shellfish, buddy, and you can add some color. But
son of yeah, a bitch.
part of me hopes we start loading up on transfers this off. You know, if we're going to have one run at it, let's make it a damn good run at it. You know?
Yeah, help out the elite quarterback that we have. And while I am a huge Evers truther, I don't even know if he's going to end up. I mean, it's really hard to say. Like, I was big on AR before he came to campus, but I wasn't, like, at this level until I saw or heard or got reports of what he was doing in actual practice when he shows up. So you need that, too. It's just you can't actually count on that happening necessarily. So, yeah, give him the weapons. Let's see what he does.
Don't count out my like resurgent zombie Del Rio comeback or my like Kinta boy. I think they are floor level going to be very, very good. Maybe not the exceptional that Berg's talking about, but I think both of them are very serviceable. I think both of them are 2019 Trask levels of potential. I don't know. You never know how they work out, but I think if we have a top 10 defense, we will see a potential floor of what Dan Mullen should be with a good DC, and see that is the year where we like floor back down to a New Year's Six Bowl.
Okay. Have we exhausted this topic?
I mean, we've really beaten it to death. We're going in circles and it's great. I love this. This is fascinating. This is fun stuff right here. I like it. This has been a little low key. We didn't get very angry or violent. I guess we got that all out of the way earlier on, like the immediate aftermath. We got the violence going. Maybe in a post editing, we can add some touch up sounds, a little bit of swords clashing or something, make it exciting or a little more intense.
Zippy's lad is used to finishing fast.
to peel back the curtain here a little bit. We've kind of talked about a couple times in the past doing like a debate format type of show for various, you know, whatever. I think we've typically talked about it within the context of the off season. But after the Sunday episode with me and Zlat being just like scorched earth, doom and gloom, Zeus showed up the next morning in the DMs and he was disgruntled. Let me tell you. And I sat there eating popcorn as he and Zlat went back and forth for a good 15-20 minutes, text yelling at each other.
I sent a dick pic. It's the first time I've done it in years.
It was, yeah. I mean, you could almost see it, too.
No!
Must have gotten really worked up.
I did have one person DM me and was like, hey, man, you good? And I was like, yeah, I'm all right. Don't worry about it. I was like, yeah, I'm all right.
This is all for fun anyways, right? And I mean, yeah, we get emotional and all that. I've had a couple of people check on me and they're like, this doesn't like bleed into my normal life or anything. I get passionate. And yes, I did go scorched earth the other day. I was ready to send people to Guantanamo Bay. And I'm only like 40% joking when I say that, at the time, at least. Now, right now, I'm probably more close to 95% joking. But
yeah,
it's yeah, it can get pretty heavy handed there.
Guantanamo Grantham.
Guantanamo. Oh my God, I love that. That's sticking. That's never leaving now.
He really puts his safeties out on an island where nobody can get to them.
Yeah. Okay. Are we done here? I think we might be done here.
Do we want to have a guest culture corner?
Yes, let's do that.
I don't want to put him on the spot because we didn't actually mention that, but like the three of us have been watching and reading the same thing for about a month and a half now, and I've just been scrolling through my like, what did I watch 2 years ago? So that
I tried something new. I started this new series.
It's the guests.
All right, guests, please proceed. Bring us your new stuff.
Do y'all have anything you've been consuming?
It's not new. I've been rewatching The Sopranos for like 2 months, and I've just been like, oh right, the show rules. Like, why don't I watch this like all the time? And then a lot of horror movies I've somehow missed out on, like a lot of John Carpenter stuff. Watched In the Mouth of Madness. That movie also kind of rules. Yeah, it's spooky season. Trying to double down on those things while I can.
Yeah, I'm not the most cultured person. I'm not gonna lie to you. I need to watch Squid Game. Thematically, that's right up my alley. But right now, the closest thing to culture I've been doing has been a deep dive back into Red Dead Redemption 2 for the first time in a long time.
Hell yeah.
And that's kind of like a cowboy movie, except in game form. So it's kind of culture, but
that works.
Yeah, that's about it. That's about it.
Since we have spoken last, because we didn't do a culture corner when it was just me and Zlat, so I haven't done culture corner in 2 weeks, something like that.
Wow.
I watched Squid Games, and I would agree that is very much up your aisle, Berg, as a class reductionist such as myself. it was pretty good. I don't know. I thought like some of the messaging was a tad heavy-handed and obvious at points, but you know, it's not exactly subtle. Kind of beat you over the head with the message, but I thought it was good nonetheless. It was entertaining at the very least.
I'm doing the thing where I scroll through all the other shows that I've watched before. I'm going to throw out a couple. I might have said them already, but I think that we get new listeners every week. So for those of you out here who have not listened to me before, I'm going to say Castlevania, The Midnight Gospel, Arrested Development, and I'm going to throw one more in there, My List. I'm going to click through My List and see what's the old school movie Catch Me If You Can, because why not?
Oh, word.
Excellent, excellent movie. I was yelling at my car radio when I was listening to the show that I was not on, as you two fine gentlemen were doing Culture Corner without me. Mostly making fun of Zlat for liking Smartless. yeah, that is, you are a basic white bitch, my friend. And I forget what the other one was. It was something to do with the Seinfeld.
I was saying that I wasn't overly impressed with Seinfeld. I liked it, but that I haven't been drawn in.
No, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, yeah. It's dated, and if you didn't watch it originally, like 10 plus years ago, it's probably not going to hit the same.
But pointing that out, I've watched more of it, and it's actually it's gotten better in my mind. So I've moved it up a tier. It's still not going to make my top 25 list, I don't think, but it would be high up there still. It's a good show.
How far into have you gotten? I think it takes like a little bit for them to figure out how to work all the characters and how to kind of like before the wheels get going.
Newman just started showing up for real. I think we're in season 4.
Oh yeah, season 3 and 4 I think is when it kicks into high gear and it's,
It's better now. I can see how it's better. It's still not like my favorite, but I actually really like it. So I would actually still put it into above a mid show into a good show. So I would go there. What's wrong with Smartless, man? That's a good show. That's fun shit right there.
God, it's like a podcast made by the algorithm. You know?
It is. It's pretty, man, I'm listening to like the richest, most entitled people just talk about their rich entitled lives. And I enjoy it, man. They're good. They talk shit. You know, it's fun. There's some entertaining people on there.
Yeah. And then there was something else that Zeus was talking about that I had a strong reaction to, but I don't remember what it was. I'm going to have to go back and listen.
Oh God. Heaven forbid. Berg, do you still have any strong opinions on the greenery outside of your house? Like what you do for your
strong opinions?
Yeah. I feel like we spoke hours about like have a clover lawn before.
Yes. Yeah. I do enjoy clover lawns, which is, kind of odd. And I understand that, but at the same time, I dig them because they're easy and they don't take fertilizer and they don't take much water. And I can basically just
perfect.
It's great. Also, they flower and attract pollinators. Give the bees, I guess.
Yeah. There you go.
We've fallen off it, but I could do an entire podcast on lawn care. I don't know much about it, but I could talk about it all day.
Sir, this is not the solid verbal.
Is that what they do?
More or less.
Yeah. The voles that I have in my yard that I as of a year or two ago, they're still there. They've actually meandered on their way to the backyard now. So now I not only have tunnels throughout the front yard, I have giant tunnels in the backyard. But I like them back there because that's not visible. Like, get them out of the front yard, I can make that look presentable. In the backyard, I just have to mow less. I'm okay with that.
My lawn is pretty overgrown at the moment. Like, I keep on waiting, hoping that we're going to get a cold snap so that I can just do like one last mow and be done for the year. And normally by like mid to late October, you can do that. But it was 70 degrees today. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think I'm going to have at least two more.
I don't think we're seeking a sponsorship or anything else like that. So I won't name drop, but... last year I did get a lawn like care service, just to like put stuff down and make sure everything, you know, get rid of weeds, make sure everything's healthy. That like legitimately did like a 180 on everything. And now it's like, oh yeah, my yard doesn't look like shit all the time now. And doesn't have these like horrible weeds growing up. My neighbors are going to yell at me. So, mowed last week and kind of hoping I don't have to for a little while, but Florida's terrible and hot all the time, so
yeah. I enjoy living in a place that has seasons, or at least had seasons once upon a time. And
now, who's the basic white bitch
for liking seasons? I mean,
Cliff, are you implying that global warming's real right now? Is that where you're going with this?
I like living in a place that has seasons.
I went to Dunkin' and I got a pumpkin cream iced coffee. Bye.
Pumpkin cream pie.
Pumpkin cream what? Oh, Jesus. Gross. What is that? What are you pouring there?
I'm pouring a stout, a coffee stout.
Nice.
Yeah. From
Duncan.
I know, coffee. And I was just like, man, I do want coffee right now, man. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, a coffee stout from Trillium up in Boston. It's quite good.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
All right, this is fun. We should debate more.
No,
yeah, we're a bunch of master debaters.
The only issue is I'm running out of Z words to use on Zeus, so I might have to either attack somebody else or really hit that thesaurus, whatever. Thesaurus. It is.
I was gonna call you Summa Zlat, Suma Zlat.
I don't get it.
Summa D's nuts.
All right, I'm muting everyone. Oh shit, I can mute, but I I can't unmute. shit. Okay. Well, so I'm going to do the outro, and if y'all want to jump in on the Go Gators, you'll have to unmute yourselves because I just muted everyone.
Go Gators.
I only got part of that. Okay. Anyway. All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. I assume nobody has anything that they need to plug since we're not professional entertainers.
Your butthole.
All right, very good.
That lawn service I was talking about, man, you know, that's how we're going to get that money.
No free rides. No free rides. Thank you for joining us. This has been a Our Florida Gators subreddit podcast roundtable debate special. Thank you for listening. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.
Review it.